How about put your hands together and give a little love for Darren stepping in and leading, and Alex and the whole band. KG back up here singing. Y'all keep praying for Katie Grace. She's had some struggles with her vocal cords, and the Lord's healing her, and it's always good when she's back up here. And so welcome. Glad you're here today, man. It's just awesome. We're going to continue in our series today of Home Sweet Home. Everybody say Home Sweet Home. I hope that you have enjoyed this series as much as I have, and just pray that you would get used to it, because we're going to be here for probably a couple of more months. We're going to talk about home and parenting and marriage, and we're going to talk about it so much because we just believe that it is absolutely the foundation of God. It's God's plan, and God starts with family, and if families will begin to honor God and serve God, and young children will grow up out of that home knowing God and honoring God, that it will change our nation. And so, excuse me, I got to take my cough drop out. Jennifer will be getting on to me in a minute. Sorry, babe. We've been talking about how this home sweet home thing, we've been talking about the commandments of God, and how we, it's our responsibility as parents to teach and train our own children. How it's the responsibility of grandparents to teach and train their grandchildren, aunts and uncles, to teach and train from within our very own homes. And we have not been good at that, and we have not done well at that over the past couple of generations. We have allowed the government to teach our children. We have allowed the school system to teach our children. We have even allowed the church to be the only voice that is teaching and training our children in the ways of God. And so I just want to challenge you today. We've got to teach and train at our homes. And you say to me, Cody, well, it's just me and my wife. We're empty nesters. And I would say this, well, the very definition of teaching is training is just to impart knowledge to someone else. So look at me. Look. Everybody looking at me. Can I hear you say a good amen? Wives, your husbands can impart knowledge into you. Husbands, your wife can impart knowledge into you. So it's just our home. If it's a husband and a wife, if it's grandparents, if it's kids, let's just impart knowledge. Let's talk about God. Let's learn from one another and grow stronger in our faith. We've been talking about, okay, Cody, I'm ready for home sweet home. What? How do I start? Because I don't know. How do I start training my kids? How do I start talking to my wife? And we've talked about a good place to start is with the Ten Commandments. Just the big ten. It's the Ten Commandments. And so, you know, I'm just going to tell you right up front. Can I be honest with y'all today? Today is not going to be a service where you walk away from here and you go, wow, Cody preached the paint off the walls today. This is not going to be a service where Jennifer would say to me, Cody, you didn't tell nearly enough personal stories today. This is not going to be a message where you go, wow, how did Cody get this? We're going to go back and we're going to talk about some fundamental stuff today. How many of you know fundamental stuff is so important that we learn? You know, I've told you this before, and I try to be a good teacher. I try to be a good preacher. And when I go to these conferences and when I listen to people teach me and tell me how to be a better communicator to these younger generations, you know what they say to me? They say, used to when you were preaching, you would say, today I'm going to tell you about Moses and the Ten Commandments. You know the story. You know about Moses and you know about the Ten Commandments. They say, you can't do that anymore. Because we've done such a poor job at teaching and training the last couple of generations, the biggest majority of Americans today don't even know who Moses is, and they don't know the story of the Ten Commandments. We have to go back, and we have to reteach, and we have to go to the fundamentals of what our faith really is. Today is going to be a fundamental message. But today is going to be a message that if you get a hold of, and if I get a hold of, and if we teach and train the next generation, and the next generation, if Will and Jesse and Clara get married, and they live their life, and they build their business, and they build their faith upon the Ten Commandments of God, and they learn to honor God, and they learn not to lie, and they learn not to commit adultery, a generation will change our nation as we know it if we'll go back to the fundamentals. So today, we're going to talk about the Big Ten. We're going to talk about the first five. We're going to talk about the first five this week. We're going to talk about the last five next week. Today, I'll just tell you up front, today the first five, generally speaking, are our relationship with our Heavenly Father. how we can honor God. Next week, the last 10 are going to talk about how we can live life and our relationship with the people that God has placed in our life, the big 10. I've heard people say over the years, well, the Ten Commandments, they're Old Testament stuff, and we're New Testament Christians. And I will not argue with you about that, but I'm going to tell you something. Let's look at what Jesus said about the commandments. Let's look at what Jesus said about the law, because what Jesus says is what matters. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish or do away with the law. I have not come to abolish the law, but I have come to fulfill the law. For truly I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will pass away from the law until it is accomplished. Jesus said the big 10 really still matter. It's a good guide to go by. It's a good way to live. If you want to read, if you say, Cody, I want to study, I want to learn, I want to go more, then read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is the Gospels, and you will see for yourself, if you read those four books of the Bible, the life of Jesus on this earth, you will find that each of the Ten Commandments are stated or restated all throughout those books. It's a good place for us to start. I want us to talk about, where did these Ten Commandments come from? Because how many of you know, when I grew up, come on, somebody. We had Channel 9, Channel 12, and Channel 32. Can I get a witness? And about once a year on Channel 9, Channel 12, or Channel 32, this movie, The Ten Commandments, came on. And Moses had a long beard, and everybody in America sat down around the TV, and it was the corniest film, corniest made movie ever. But it taught us about Moses and the Ten Commandments and where they came from. How many of you remember on primetime TV 9, 12, or 32 when Billy Graham came on and preached about four times a year? At my house, we roped calves. We trained horses. That's what my daddy and my granddaddy did. And we had a pen full of roping calves. 50 or 60 roping calves, and we roped calves all day long. And we had 15 or 16 horses, and we roped calves. And my nanny Jean, the matriarch of the family, when Billy Graham came on Channel 9, Channel 12, or Channel 32, she said to my granddaddy, Donald, she said, Donald, I'm going to tell you what. You turn them roping calves out. You unsaddle them horses and turn them loose. Billy Graham's coming on tonight. We're eating at 6, and we're sitting in front of that TV at 7 o'clock. We watched. We knew where the Ten Commandments came from. And it's important that we know it's not something that Cody made up. It's not something that the Baptist church made up. It's not something that the Assemblies of God made up. It's something that came from God in heaven. And I want to read to you the scripture today, Exodus 31. If you're a note taker, if you want to turn there, Exodus 31, verse 18. Now, here we're going to see where the Ten Commandments came from and how they came about. Exodus 31, 18. And he, being God, gave to Moses. Moses, we'll talk more about Moses in a minute. And God gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, the two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Written with the very finger of God, not with a gel pen. Not in calligraphy, not with a number 2 sharpened pencil, with the very finger of God on stone, he wrote the Ten Commandments and gave them to Moses. Wow. That carries some weight for me. God wrote it himself. Who's this Moses guy? Who's this Moses guy? God chose and handpicked Moses to be the mediator between God and God's people. Can I tell you, if you want to read and you want to study in the Old Testament, God was on the Mount of Sinai. And the Bible says that there was thundering and that there was lightning and that there was fire. It was this big presence of God on top of the mountain. And the people were scared of God. They were fearful of God. They couldn't go to the top. But God said, I need a mediator. And God chose Moses. And Moses went up in the cloud and the thundering. And he met with God face to face. And God gave him these Ten Commandments. Moses, who's Moses? Can I tell you what the Bible says about Moses? Here's Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34, 10 and 12 says, "And there has not risen a prophet in Israel like Moses." The scripture said there's not a prophet that's greater than him. He's like the greatest prophet ever, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, and for all the mighty power and great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Here is God. God the creator, God the redeemer, God the giver of life, God Jehovah. And here is Moses, the greatest prophet ever. The Ten Commandments come together with these two entities. That means the Ten Commandments matter. That's a winning combination. They should hold some weight. And so today, the Ten Commandments are still a guide for us to go by. We're going to talk about them. I'm just going to read to you Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read to you from the scripture, the Ten Commandments. I'm going to read to you what they say, and I pray that it speaks to you and resonates with you. Exodus 20, then we'll break it down and talk about it. Exodus 20, chapter 1, and God spoke all these words. God spoke. Verse number 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any idols or any likeness. You shall not bow down and serve them, for I am your Lord, I am your God, and I am a jealous God. God describes himself as a jealous God. Verse 6 says, but I show my steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourners who live within your gates. For in six days, the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Verse number 12 says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Ten Commandments, the number one commandment, God says this, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me, because God reminds them that I am the one that brought you out of the land of slavery. I am the one that brought you out of the life of bondage. I am the one that saved and redeemed you. Can I just remind you today? Yep. You're cool, and yep, you got a little bit of swag, and yep, you've built a pretty cool little home, and yep, you look really good on the outside, but can I tell you, without the Lord God Almighty moving in your life, you would still be living a life of bondage, you would still be living in sin, you would be broke, busted, and disgusted, and every one of us are where we are today because of God Almighty and not anything ourselves have done. I'm glad you got it, girl. I'm glad you got it, girl. God says, I'm the one that saved you. You was a rotten, dirty, no good, sorry son of a buck. And I brought you out. And he goes, now that I've brought you out and changed you, he said, I'm a jealous God. And you know what? You better not have any other gods before me. Let's take a moment and talk about what gods could we put before God Almighty. We live in America, greatest nation ever. We live in America where we have freedoms, and it's a life. Maybe you got struggles, but it's an easy life. It's the best life. It's the best country to live in the world. What has become our God? What has become our God in this nation? What has become our God in the American church? M-O-N-E-Y. Money. Money, money, money. I got to get enough money. I got to work enough hours. I got to give myself. I got to have this kind of car. I got to have this kind of brand. I got to have this kind of home. My kids have to look this kind of good. We have let money become the God in America and in the American church. It's just the truth. It's just the way it is. And I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not trying to condemn you. I am trying to bring an awareness to you and I that we have allowed money to become more important than our God. And let me prove this to you, and I'm going to move on because y'all all got that look like, I can't believe he's saying that to me up there. Let me ask you a question. Let's just compare the effort and the energy and the time that we put forth into making more money versus the energy and the effort and the time that we put into having a closer relationship with God. And I'll leave it there. You want to know what your gods are? Look where you spend your time, look where you spend your money, and look where you spend your effort. Money. What about something else? Let's talk about these things. These are touchy things, and they're triggering things. They may trigger you. What about sports? Sports has become God in America. How many of you remember when schools and the education system did not schedule sporting events on Sunday because Sunday was the Sabbath day? How many of you remember when even the schools didn't practice on Wednesday night or have games on Wednesday night because Wednesday night was prayer meeting, it was time to honor God? Let me just tell you, that is the results of living in a post-Christian nation. And if that offends you, I'm sorry. We were one nation under God, and I believe we will come back to that, but we are not now one nation under God. We are one nation under money, and we are one nation under sports, and we are one nation under our government. And if we want to see that revival come back, it's going to start with people like you and me. Government. Let's talk about government. Some of us listen more to the government than what we listen to the Word of God. Oh, Cody, don't get political on me. Yeah. Let's get political. Let's get down and dirty and in the nitty gritty and get down to the nut cutting. Come on, somebody. Because if government says we can't come, let me just, I ain't staying there. But if government says, you know what, you're not going to gather in the name of the Lord, and you know what, you're going to have to cancel your church, I'm going to tell you, go back about 4 years and I'll prove to you what kind of sheep we are, because we sat at home and we watched on the internet and we said, government said it, so we're not going to go worship God anymore. Oh, y'all got quiet then, didn't you? We have so many things that have become God. We put them before our God. God said, you shall have no... Let me tell you about gods right quick. Let me tell you about me. Jennifer likes when I tell stories. I grew up, I want to be a cowboy. That's all I want to be. I want to be a cowboy. And I'm not saying they're the best, but I had this image in my mind. Pointed toe hat, pointed toe boots, straight leg Levi's. It was Guthrie, Texas. It was the Sixes Ranch. It was Bobby Thompson. He was the best calf dragger I ever seen. He could rope better than anybody else. It was Royce McClowry. It was Keith Slover. He could ride a cutting horse. I idolize those guys. I want to be like those guys. Jennifer and I get married, and I'm living at that ranch that I dreamed of, where my idols had always lived. And can I tell you what my God was? By God, my image. Cowboy. Boy, how about all you cowboys? I'll ride you like a Shetland pony, cowboys. Because we're cowboys, by golly. We got to look like a cowboy. We got to act like a cowboy. We got to dress like a cowboy. You know what I'm saying? And it became my God. It's all I cared about. It's all I worried about. And finally, I surrendered to the Lord. Man, the Lord rocked my world, and I surrendered to the Lord. And you know what the Lord did to me? He moved me from the place that I wanted to live my whole life. 1 week, I was riding those L-branded, top-bred horses in the country. And the next week, I was wearing a pair of shorty shorts in a brown box, loading cardboard boxes in a UPS truck down here in Abilene, Texas. Because the Lord, because I wasn't strong enough to keep doing what I had made God. Lord had to move me out of that environment and out of that culture down to where I had absolutely nothing but Him and my family so I could put Him number one again. Can I tell you, some of you need to be moved out of the culture you're in and the environment you're in because it has become your God and your identity. God said, you should have no other idols. You should have no idols. You should not worship any idols. You worship God. Can I just tell you something right quick? That God is a spirit. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you know we do not worship any image and we don't worship any idol? We worship a God who is a spiritual God. And you know what has become a big idol in the Christian church and in the Catholic church? And this will offend some of you religious people. with a cross with Jesus hanging on it. We see the cross, so we worship the cross. Oh, it's Jesus on the cross, and we worship him, and we see the empty tomb and the stone, it's rolled away, and we worship that. Listen, it's not about Jesus hanging on the cross because he ain't on the cross anymore, and it's not about the tomb because he ain't in the tomb anymore. He is risen at the right hand of the Father. We worship God, who is spirit and truth. Can I tell you right quick, can I just preach to y'all this morning? You know what else we make idols in our life? Our kids. And that hits me because I love my kids. But it's all about our kids. Can our kids do this? Can our kids excel in sports? Can we make our kids wear these kind of clothes? We got to get our kids these kind of cars. We want our kids to be popular. And we do everything trying to promote and to make our kids become our idols. And parents get caught up and they skip church on Sunday and they skip church on Wednesday. And they don't spend time around the table at home and reading the Word of God because we're trying to take our kids and we're making our kids the idols in our life. Some of us, it's our spouse. It's all about our spouse. Oh, she's so pretty. She plays the fiddle so good. Oh, my gosh. And when she wears those tall top boots, whoo. You know what else we make idols? Our preacher. Oh, yeah, Pastor Cody. Preacher man, Cody, preacher man. Cody, preacher man, I got to go to church. Got to hear Cody preaching. If Cody's not preaching, I don't want to come, and I need to hear Cody, and Cody this, and Cody that. We make these things our idols, and God says you can't have any other gods. You can't be worshiping these idols because I'm the one that brought you out of the land. The third thing is this: you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How many of us in here have taken the name of the Lord our God in vain this last week? The name that is above all names. The name that every demon should flee, the name where healing would come, the name that every knee should bow and tongue confess, and we loosely take his name in vain. Can I tell you, I told you last week and I'll tell you again today, God's last name is not damn it, so knock it off. I'm a cowboy, man. I was around cowboy people, and let's be honest, cowboys kind of have tendency to cuss sometimes. Cuss words are different than taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. Cuss words, I'm not saying they're good, but I've heard this word, and this four-letter word. But when somebody says GD, it just makes my ears prick up, and I just think, no, that's the name that saved me. Stop using that name in vain. I had this old uncle, his name was Royce D. Rogers. My grandmother, Jean's brother, he was a good cowboy. He could rope calves, he could bulldog, and he could ride bulls. And I did his funeral, and when I went down there and met with all of them, they would always say there's never been a greater three-event cowboy come out of South Texas than Royce D. Royce D was cool. He always had the starched jeans on and the shirt and the wild rag and the pointed hat, and he had a big diamond ring and a cool turquoise watch, and he was cool. And one of his bywords when things would go right or go wrong, he'd say, Jesus Christ. And I liked old Royce D, and I wanted to be like Royce D. And one time I was in my grandparents' house in their utility room. How many of y'all remember those basketball hoops? Like you could open the door and put it over the top of the door and then close the door and it was a basketball goal? Nerf ball. I'm in my grandparents' utility room and I'm bouncing. I'm thinking I'm Magic Johnson. I'm skyhooking. I'm behind the back. I'm jump-shotting and I missed the shot and I went, Jesus Christ! And boy, Nanny Jean came out of that kitchen, boy, and she trotted across that kitchen and past that dining room table and she said, don't you ever let me hear you say that again or I'll wash your mouth out with lava soap. And she lined me out. She said, that's the name of our Savior that saved us, and you don't use that name. And I said, well, your brother Royce D says it all the time. She said, I don't care what he says. The name of God is a powerful, powerful name, and we must only use it in a holy and a hallowed way. Do you know that God's chosen people are the Jewish people? And to this day, when the Jewish people even write the name of God, they don't go G-O-D, they go G-D, because they believe that the name of God is so powerful that we shouldn't even be able to write it on a piece of paper. God's name. Well, you know who the best president, come on, y'all help me out if you know me very good, who was the best and the manliest president ever in the United States of America? Teddy Roosevelt. I read a book one time about Teddy Roosevelt, and he was totally against putting "In God We Trust" on our money. And when I first read that, I was offended. I was like, come on, Teddy, you're my man. And then I went on to read, and he said, his name is too holy to be placed on dirty money. There was a reverence in the old days of the name of God. Number four, I got to hurry and get y'all out of here. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. When I was a kid growing up, they didn't have Walmart. How many remember they had Kmart and TGNY? Come on, somebody. That's what you had. And we didn't go to that. We went to church on Sunday. And I would go to the grocery store just a time or two with my mom to get some things that maybe we had forgotten. And how many remember when the toy aisle was roped off on Sunday and you couldn't even buy toys on Sunday? It was because we were a nation that said we respect the Sabbath day. It's not about playing. We'll give you the necessities, but nothing else. How many of you know, don't raise your hand because you'll give yourself away? How many know you can't buy alcohol on Sundays? There's a reason. Because when we were still a Christian nation, we said, you know what, this is the Sabbath and this is the holy day, and we're not going to be drinking no whiskey on the holy day. This is God's day. I got to work, Cody. I told the 8 o'clock bunch, I know you 8 o'clock bunch, you were here at 8 o'clock because you have work to do this afternoon, and I'm going to be praying for you the rest of the day. We all think we have to work. We got stuff to do. We got to do this. We got to do that. Can I just tell you, you will never, ever, 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 ever get ahead by neglecting God and doing work on Sundays. Never. I get it. I get it. Sometimes you're farming and you're ranching. I get it. Sometimes the hockey hits the fan and you got to do something on Sunday. But I'm saying on a regular basis, you're not going to get ahead. One day a week. God says, one day, make it my day. One day, 6 days, you do what you want to do. You go to work, you work 40 hours a week, you ride Bronx, you take care of cattle, you go teach school, you go do what you want to do. But God says, one day I want you to dedicate to me. And one day I want you to dedicate to rest. And you know, we're just at our, we don't rest enough. Can I just tell you that? God knew how to, God created us, God hardwired us to work really hard 6 days, but we need 1 week to stop, one day to stop and one day to recover so that we can be the best that we want to be. Let me just read you a scripture, Genesis 2:3, and God blessed the Sabbath, the seventh day, and made it holy because on it God rested from all the, God blessed the Sabbath day. And let me just say this right quick for you super religious people. I'm not going to get into an argument with you. There's an argument going on now. Well, the Sabbath is really Saturday, and the Sabbath is really Sunday, and this is the Sabbath day. Who cares what day you make your Sabbath? Just make one day a Sabbath day. Let me give you an example. My Sabbath cannot be Sunday. I can't rest on Sunday. I have to get up. Sunday is my most intense day when I have the most responsibility. I can't do it on Sunday, so I have to make Saturday my day of rest and hanging around the house and taking it easy and honoring God. Whichever day you use, last thing I'll share with you today is this. Honor your parents. Honor your mother and father. It's a commandment from God. Doesn't say honor them if they do what you want. It doesn't say honor them if they do what you think is right. It says honor your mother and father. Honor them. And I just believe, and I'm gonna go ahead and take my time because I think this is so important. Honor your father and mother. Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. It's the first of the Ten Commandments that says if you do this, there will be a promise attached to it. If we honor our father and mother, it says you will live long days upon this earth. Honor your mother and father. This is so important. Have any of you noticed, stay with me, look at me, look. Have you noticed the level of disrespect and dishonor between children and their parents these days? Have you noticed that our government wants to allow young women to have abortion and dishonor their parents and not even tell their parents about that medical treatment? Have you noticed in our world they're saying that 12 and 13 and 14-year-old children can go and have members of their body cut off and they can transition to some other kind of gender and we're not even going to tell their parents about it? There is a culture in America that is dishonoring the father and the mother and the teachings of father and mother. It is nothing other than the enemy trying to tear down home sweet home and attack the nuclear family. Because the enemy knows we've got to, parents, you got to teach your children to honor and respect you. And if that means whip their butt, that means whip their butt. If that means ground them, ground them. If that means they don't get to do what everybody else is doing, that means they don't get to do it. We got to teach our children respect and honor. Why is that so important? Because here's the deal. If we properly teach and train our children to understand submission to the authority of parents, then it will be naturally built into their system to understand submission, that when they get on their own, now they will know they have to submit under the authority of God the Father, and they'll live godly lives. But if we raise up kids that don't know how to honor mom and dad, they will not know how to honor God either. So important. In closing, this is the Big Ten. Darren, y'all come help me, please. We talked about the first five today. Written by the finger of God. They still carry weight today. It's a great starting point for our lives and our family and for our nation. I want to challenge you. Keep studying, y'all. Keep studying, keep teaching, keep having fun. Can I tell you, this week I got so many comments from so many families. This is so fun teaching my kids the Ten Commandments. I got several videos that people sent me, so I'm going to encourage you something. Send me your videos. I hope at the end of this series that we can make a compilation of all these little kids and parents learning the Ten Commandments. I'm telling you, it's the cutest thing. I got one. This little old red-headed country boy, about 5 or 6 years, I'm talking about country boy. And I know his granddaddy. And his mama's videoing. And she goes, "Hey, tell me Ten Commandments." He's like, "One, you should only have one God. Two, you shouldn't have no idols." And I mean, he's laughing and his mother's laughing. And about that time, his 3-year-old sister comes running in with a t-shirt and her panties on. And she's laughing and they're videoing. And mama turns it on the little girl. And mama says, "Tell me what number one is." And she said, "Just one God." Kick like that. And I know that's silly. What if we raise up our kids and they go, "That's the 10, and that's the 10 that matters, and we're going to build our marriage on the 10, and we're going to raise next generation on 10. It will change our world. So send me your videos. Post your videos on social media. You say, "Oh, Cody, I'm just talking social media stuff." Well, it's the world we live in, so get over it. You can use it for evil or you can use it for good. On Instagram, at Bethel Anson, or Facebook, Bethel Assembly of Anson. Hashtag Ten Commandments. What if we just said, "Know what? I'm going to post this." What if we said, "I'm going to put my videos up"? What if we started a hashtag Ten Commandments in little old Anson, Texas, that caught a little fire and went to Stanford, Texas, and went to Albany, Texas, and went to Abilene? What if revival started from us doing that? That would bring our nation and our school systems and our towns and our families back to the Ten Commandments of God. Y'all stand on your feet and we're going to close. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you that you've given us a guide and the commandments to go by. And if we follow those commandments, you promise to move in our lives. Speak to us, convict us today. If we have things in our life that have become gods and become idols, and we put them before you, convict us today. Challenge us today. Lord, if we've taken your name in vain, Lord, let us repent. Let us guard our mouth and guard our tongue and only use your name in a holy way. Help us to focus on Sabbath and rest and honoring you just one day. Speak to us about honoring our parents. We love you. We thank you. You're a good God. You're full of good grace. And you brought us from a mighty long way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's close with worship.